Yes, long text. Pastor Burke called me. I was still in bed. I was barely awake, but I was awake. And he said, "Have you seen the news?" I said, "No." And he told me about it, and I got up immediately and turned on the television sets to hear this terrible, terrible act of terrorism. Just a few minutes later, I got a call from Port Orchard, Washington. I've been receiving calls. My wife called. My daughters wanted to talk to me. And every place we've gone today, that was the topic of conversation. When we were in the restaurant, they were bringing in a television set to watch the news, and they had a radio going. I'm a little surprised that the church is not packed tonight. And I thought maybe it would be, but there's coming a time, I predict, that all the churches in the land will be packed. But it may be the day of the rapture, the night of the rapture. All of the backsliders left behind. I've been honored and blessed in my ministry. God has been good to me. I've been extremely well received in my own country, and Jesus said a prophet is not without honor save in his own country. But my home district has honored me everywhere. You as a church body have honored me, and I've been invited back again and again through different pastors over the years. Probably the highest honor of my ministry was to be asked to speak the Sunday night service at our General Council of the Assemblies of God in Dallas, Texas. But I want to be sure I say this correctly. I watched the television. I broke down and cried. I prayed. Immediately as I watched the news this morning, I said, "God, what do you want me to preach tonight?" And I'm very serious when I say this. This may be the most important sermon I've preached in my lifetime. And as you listen to what I have to say, you'll understand why I say that. I wish everyone in this city could hear what I have on my heart tonight. And I'm going to suggest this. If you want to do some evangelization, I've already printed up labels for tonight's sermon. I would suggest that you order a dozen of these tapes and in your own words tell people about them and give them to your sons, daughters, nieces, nephews, neighbors, backsliders, people that you know need God. I'm serious about it. And I'd stay up all night if necessary to duplicate these tapes. The little duplicator I brought just makes one at a time. But I'm serious about that. I preached in my hometown a different sermon on Bible prophecy, and several of the people ordered 10 tapes. One lady said, "I want immediately 10 copies of that sermon." I said, 10? She said, "Yes, I want to give them to all of my family." And I had them for her in a few hours. So you pray about, you want to evangelize. Sometimes somebody else's words can do what you cannot do. I'd like to speak tonight on the subject of God's roll call of terrorist nations, addressing God's attitude about terrorism. And at the end of this service, we're going to come and have a special prayer. We've prayed 3 times already in this service. Pastor Burke and I prayed together several times during the day through our president, the Senate, the Congress, the people in the Pentagon, people in leadership. And we're praying for our national revival. Even on the secular station we listened to again and again, they talked about praying, calling on God. I couldn't believe these were secular. I said to Pastor Burke, "Is that a religious program?" He said, "No, that's secular." And all across the land, there are thousands and thousands of cities that are having citywide prayer tonight. And there are thousands and thousands of churches that are opening the church and gathering the congregation for prayer. So this is a grave situation. Our president spoke, and he said that it was the most serious day in the entire history of America. You think of that. It goes far beyond Pearl Harbor in the loss of life. I remember as a boy, a December day, we woke up and listened to the radio and realized that they had struck Pearl Harbor. And we went to church on that Sunday morning, and there was a spirit of alarm in the air. My, how the people prayed. And yet not once, but several times today from different sources, they said this far surpasses Pearl Harbor. This day will be remembered as long as history is written. And I weep for the many people that have been killed by this tragic accident. Several have said this is the most terrible act of terrorism in the entire history of the world. The very worst in the history of the world. And we must not let it go by without stopping to think about what God has to say. And so let us ask God for a special anointing upon the Word. I know I'll receive many telephone calls, and I know from across this country, from preachers and people, they'll come, they'll call, they'll be ordering this tape. I would imagine, this is my guess, but I am imagining that there'll be calls for several thousand of the sermon tonight. I've never heard this preached. I'll tell you how it came about, but let us pray. Lord, I feel totally inadequate to preach at this tremendous hour, a crisis hour, an hour of alarm. But, oh God, give me a prophetic voice, and above all, give me anointing of the Holy Ghost. And as the Word of God goes forth, for those that are here tonight, and those that are all across the land, that will hear this sermon. May the Holy Ghost come upon them as they hear. For it is just as important that we be anointed to hear the Word as we are anointed to preach the Word. Give clarity of thought. It is so powerful. These scriptures are so powerful that we can give them in the simplest form and they will not lose the power of the Word of God. So I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I often preach a sermon over the years on nine tribulation battles. I've been trying to get it in book form, but I'm so busy seeing preaching, I'm a better at preaching than I am writing. Everyone has heard of the Battle of Armageddon. Even people that are not in church know Armageddon is associated with the doctrine of end times. But the great theme in the Bible concerning these things is the day of the Lord. Every one of the main prophets, major prophets, described in great detail, sometimes in two or three chapters, as in Joel 1, 2, and 3, the day of the Lord. And they described it. And it is that day and time when God judges the nations and judges the world for its wickedness. But there are nine of these battles. On these 40 trips I've made to Israel, I always take time, and before we go up on the Mount Megiddo, where the last battle will be fought. We used to do it up on top, but the wind is always so fierce it's hard to record it. People always want the recording of it. But so we stand at the base and I give it before we go up on the top of Megiddo. 9 tribulation battles. The first one is described in this 29th chapter of Ezekiel, the battle of Egypt. And he says very clearly here that Egypt will be judged. Let's take a look at those verses and follow with me and take notes in the scripture. Verse 8 of Ezekiel 29, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will bring a sword upon thee, and cut off man and beast out of thee. He's talking about Egypt and the coming judgment upon Egypt that has never happened. And the land of Egypt shall be desolate and waste. And they shall know that I am the Lord, because he hath said, the river is mine, and I have made it. Behold, therefore, I am against thee and against thy rivers. I will make the land of Egypt utterly waste and desolate, from the Tower of Syene even unto the border of Ethiopia. No foot of man shall pass through it, nor foot of beast shall pass through it, neither shall it be inhabited for 40 years. And I will make the land of Egypt desolate in the midst of the countries that are desolate, and her cities among the cities that are laid waste shall be desolate 40 years. And I will scatter the Egyptian among the nation, and will disperse them through the countries. Yet thus saith the Lord God, at the end of 40 years will I gather the Egyptians from the people whither they were scattered. And I will bring again the captivity of Egypt, and will cause them to return into the land of Pathros, into the land of their habitation, and they shall be there a base kingdom. It shall be the basest of the kingdoms, neither shall it exalt itself any more above the nations. For I will diminish them, that they shall no more rule over the nations. 5 times he uses the phrase 40 years. And during this 40 years, the land of Egypt will be utterly waste and desolate, from the extreme north to the extreme south, even to the border of Ethiopia. I read and studied, I have on my tape catalog, two different sermons on the desolation of Egypt, the coming judgment of Egypt. A number of years ago, one of our young men from Idaho was studying at Moscow University, Northern Idaho, Moscow, and I went with him for 3 days and audited classes because he was having a little trouble in his faith. And as we went to his ancient history class, and he each time would introduce me, I said, when you introduce me to your professor, do not tell him who I am. And he introduced me, and he told me that he had the reputation of being one of the very best in the nation on ancient history. And so as we met, I said, they tell me that you're one of the very best in the nation about it, on the subject of ancient history. And he thanked me, and I said, I have a question for you. Is there any time in Egyptian history that the land of Egypt was totally desolate from the delta to the border of Ethiopia? In fact, so desolate that not a camel, a jackal, a foot of man or beast was in Egypt for 40 years. He looked at me with a quizzical look, and he said, sir, I've taught ancient history for many years, but that must be the most unusual question I've ever had asked. Could you tell me why you asked such an unusual question? I said, I'll tell you why, but why I ask it would not reflect on the truth and the answer one way or the other. So you answer the question first, and then I'll tell you why I ask it. Well, he said, that's fair enough. My answer is no, there's not been a time like that. There's been tremendous judgments, and dynasties have been overthrown, and Egypt has had some tremendous wars. But nothing like you explain. My answer is no. Well, I already knew that because I'd read what the Encyclopedia Britannica had to say about it, and the Encyclopedia Americana, and I had read a book called The Egyptian, about 900 pages on Egyptian history. I already knew the answer, but I was asking what he would say. He'd say the answer is a simple no. Why do you ask such a question as that? And I said, well, about 572 years before Christ, when Nebuchadnezzar was coming down towards Egypt, the Jewish prophet Ezekiel prophesied a time connected with the day of the Lord when Egypt would be so desolate that not a foot of man or a foot of beast would pass through it. He looked at me and raised an eyebrow and said, I didn't know anything like that was in the Bible. Well, he said, that's amazing. It would have to be nuclear. Said if it was earthquake or common destruction, the helicopters would be there the next day. He said, I imagine that's probably the strontium-90 pepper bomb. It has a half lifespan of 40 years. And as we stood there, he asked more questions and invited me to speak to his class. I was drawing the end of my time and I was not able to do that. But the answer is no. But this is a very great prophecy, and we have a lot more information on it in Isaiah 27, where it says, the Lord will beat off from the channel to the stream of Egypt, and you shall be gathered one by one, O house of Israel, and worship the Lord in the holy mountain in Jerusalem. And he goes on to say that in Isaiah 19, the whole chapter deals with it, that after this time, there'll be five cities built. One will be named the City of Destruction. And there'll be a highway from Egypt to Assyria. And that Egypt will be one-third of the Holy Land, and Assyria will be one-third. And it'll go to those extreme borders of the Abrahamic prophecy. Now, I'll tell you why this is such an important prophecy, because the next chapters that I reference are tied to this. And it relates again and again to this vast destruction on the land of Egypt. So as you come to the 30th chapter, he has a woe against the nations. Verse 1 of chapter 30, the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy and say, Thus saith the Lord God, How ye are cry out. What are we to cry? Woe worth the day. Verse 3, For the day of the Lord is near, even the day of the Lord is near, and he described